Take your business further with the smart and flexible American Express Business Gold Card. It offers flexible spending capacity that adapts to your business. You can also earn up to $395 in annual statement credits on eligible purchases at select business merchants. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/businessgoldcard.
Welcome to the Jill on Money podcast. It is Tuesday, October 20th, a fortnight before the presidential election. Eating your Wheaties? Hope you are. It's going to be a rough 2 weeks for everybody. It doesn't matter who you're rooting for, who you're in the tank for. It doesn't even matter. Everyone's on pins and needles. It's very anxiety provoking, the whole thing, on top of the virus. It's just too much. And so if you want a little bit of a break from your political anxieties, let's focus on something that can help you. How can we improve your financial life? And that is what I'm hopeful that we can do here on the program. If you have a financial question, send us an email. Ask Jill at jillonmoney.com. Ask Jill at jillonmoney.com. Here's a message from Don, who says, the subject, selling house, looking to move out of state. He writes, we're selling our house. We plan to move to an apartment for about a year while I keep working. We want to roll the money we get from this house into the next house and probably have to make up the difference either with money we save or another loan. I know you can escape taxes on the house sale if you roll it into another house, but is there a time limit on doing so? It's getting near the year's end and this will overlap taxes. This is not the rule. You're going by the old rules, man. It's not about when you roll it into another house. Here's the rule on gains. If you have less than $500,000 in gains on your primary residence, it can be excluded for tax purposes because you're married. So an individual can exclude $250,000 and a couple can exclude $500,000. The old rules were about rolling it into a house. But here's more of the information. So Don, 67, his wife is 64. He says, my wife has next to nothing in her retirement. I've got $185,000 in my 401k, $37,000 in my IRA, and I'll have a pension of about $900 per month plus Social Security. I know I might have to keep working until we pay off the new house. We're hoping not to take out more than a $30,000 or $40,000 loan. We're planning to move out of New York State. We don't know where. And they're looking at paying around $300,000 for their replacement house. Okay, so you're not going to have a tax situation. Don't worry about taxes. That's not the issue. And there's no time clock going here. Why on earth are we spending more on your house than what you're pulling out in equity? Seems to me that you're going into areas that are cheaper than New York. So here's my advice. Don't take out any more than a $30,000 or $40,000 loan. Don't take any loan out. Pay cash, whatever you have come up with in terms of the sale of your house, that's what you're going to pay for your new house. That's it. That's it. So you can keep renting. It's all fine, but don't spend more. You know, I always notice this, Mark, that we often will get questions from people and they talk about downsizing, but they don't really downsize, do they? Sue writes, I just lost my husband in August. I'm checking to refi because interest rates are low. And we still have a mortgage for another 22 years, got a lot of equity. The high closing costs concern me, but I can swing a little higher payment. So this is about refinancing from 4% to 2.3%. Look, you got to run these numbers. You got to see how long you're going to stay in the house and when you're going to break even. So yes, I think it's fine to go to 15 years, but if it seems like a bit of a stretch, then maybe just go to 20 years and shave a little time off that way. Don't put a lot of pressure on yourself. You got a lot going on in your life. Sorry for your loss. Okay, here is a questioner from Madison, Wisconsin. Anonymous question. Why would I need an annuity? That's the question. I'm a 57-year-old woman. I work for a state government. I plan to work for another 7 years. I've got $450,000 in a traditional IRA, $80,000 in a Roth, $20,000 in cash. I will also have a pension at retirement. And that pension, the cash value is $450,000. Boom. I have $250,000 in life insurance. I don't have long-term care. When the time comes to retire and generate income from these sources, I don't understand why I would want an annuity when I could structure my investments to behave similarly to an annuity. Please help me understand why annuities would be a good investment vehicle at retirement. Why would they? Because someone's selling it? She says, dripping with sarcasm. You don't need an annuity. Good for you. Annuities are basically a promise of a stream of income. So if you feel uncomfortable managing your own money, if you feel anonymous, like, oh, I'm going to just blow all this money, I don't want to have the worries around it, then yeah, maybe an annuity. But for you, no way. You're in great shape. Good for you. Fantastic. Martha writes, in a recent question, you advised doing nothing with retirement money in light of a Biden administration. With respect to inheritance and a possible Biden administration, how would you deal with the elimination of the stepped-up basis? In advance, thank you. I can't start mucking around with what I think is going to be potential tax law changes. I just can't. So here's what I would say. If you have a big, huge estate, and you are worried about how the money is going to be taxed at your death, then you may want to see an estate attorney. Maybe you want to start putting some money into a charitable trust today. But I guess that what you could do if you really want to muck around is you could try to realize gains right now. But how old are you? What's going on? And who's inheriting the money? I got more questions. Guys, cannot try to outgame what you think is going to happen. Here's what I do know. What I know is that taxes are probably going up in the future. I don't know how, I don't know the nuance, and I think you're nuts to try to guess what those potential changes could be. Okay? This is Bruce, who says that he read my article in the Chicago Tribune, A Traditional Explanation of Budget Deficits. It made no mention of quantitative easing by the Fed. So he goes on to say, as I understand it, quantitative easing is the Fed buying bonds with money they have printed out of thin air. It's a game changer. How does it fit into the traditional view of the problem with deficits? It doesn't. The Fed holds it on its balance sheet. And when the Fed wants to sell those assets off, you could potentially say that they'll make money from them, potentially, or maybe it could make interest rates go higher. There are no big problems with the quantitative easing. Quantitative easing was turned out to be just fine. Everyone who freaked out about it when it was happening, shrieking that it was going to cause catastrophes and inflation and higher interest rates, was wrong. So it could potentially add to the problems that we are facing overall with higher interest rates, but they're not here yet. So again, both the federal government and the Federal Reserve are really looking at this current environment and saying, the blank is hitting the fan. What do we need to do? That's really what's going on. We're not worried about the Fed's balance sheet being bloated. We're not really worried about debt and deficit right now. We need to get out of this. We need to get out of this recession. And, you know, the third quarter, we'll see a nice bounce. But beyond that, I don't know. And we got to be really careful. Okay. All right. That's it. Can't believe it, Mark. Just goes by so fast. If you have a financial question, do not hesitate to send us a message. Ask Jill at jillonmoney.com. And also, you can go to our website, jillonmoney.com. You can read the stuff that we write and listen to old shows. You can watch TV appearances, check out the resource section. Do sign up for our free weekly newsletter because Mark works very hard at that. All right. As always, wash your hands, wear your masks, maintain your physical distancing, do something nice for somebody today. We'll talk to you tomorrow.